Jesus said, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." As we enter into these holy days, nearly 2,000 years after that night that he gathered in an upper room with his friends, I can't help but wonder, when is later? Is it supposed to be now? Because as we ponder again the mysterious ritual of sharing bread and wine in remembrance of him, and the even more mystifying practice of washing each other's feet, maybe it's just me, but I'm not sure that I fully understand. I have some ideas of my own, and some things that I somehow know to be true, enough that I can piece together an answer and wonder with others. I have centuries of tradition and theology to draw on, but do I understand? Do you? It seems a vague difference, but there is something different between knowing and understanding. Knowing has an incarnational edge to it. To know something is to have seen or perceived it. Our experiences lead us into knowing. Understanding is less immediate. It is more tempered. It is a recognition that fullness is gained only when we have the benefit of hindsight and time to pull together our threads and to make meaning. To understand is perhaps that which we perpetually look ahead to, coming close but not quite reaching. It makes me think of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." Knowing, understanding, being fully known, and the unspoken implication that we are fully loved in being fully known. These are what have been swirling around in my thoughts and prayers as we've prepared for this sacred night. They are a part of coming close to a mystery. Because you can try to explain a mystery, try to understand it, but to really come close to it, you need to know it in some way through your experience of it. So tonight we gather to remember and experience two profound events that Jesus shared with his friends on a night like this all those many years ago. Coming to know Jesus, each other, our very selves, through the sharing of the bread and the wine and the washing of the feet. And in doing so, we come closer to understanding God's love. In Godly Play, when we tell the story of Jesus sharing his last meal with his friends, these are our words. "One time, the Good Shepherd had supper with his friends. After they had had everything they wanted to eat, Jesus took some bread, gave thanks to God for it, and then he broke it and said something like, 'Whenever you break this bread and share it, I will be with you.' He also took a cup of wine, and he gave thanks to God for it, and he said, 'Whenever you share a cup like this, I will be there.' His friends wondered what he was talking about. He was always saying things like that. How could they know? Still, they did not forget. Still, they did not forget. They remembered to share bread and wine together, to experience again and again Jesus' promise that he would be with them in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the wine. They and we come to know the mystery of God with us because we share bread and wine and tell each other this story every week, and it helps us to go where words and thinking alone cannot take us. In that way, it's like love. Not the sentimental Hallmark kind of love, or even the fierce love we feel for children and parents and those we've claimed as our family. No, this love is the kind that simultaneously strips us bare and makes us vulnerable, while at the same time embracing us and wrapping us in comfort and strength. The bread and the wine, and Jesus' promise to be with us when we gather to remember him and share it, is an invitation into that love. It is a gift. But like all gifts from heaven, we do not always understand them. We do not always accept them. We cannot always appreciate them. This is not a truth only for us all of these years later. It was a truth for those who took the bread from Jesus' hands and accepted the cup as he lifted it to their lips. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. And others fled into the night. Yet the gift remains. And I wonder if this is some part of the reason that we share this gift every week. If we do it because praying shapes believing. So in the doing, we come closer to the knowing, perhaps even gaining a piece of understanding. Jesus knew this. Jesus understood this. And so he gave us this gift. But this last meal is not the only gift, the only story that we remember tonight. In John's gospel, we receive this mystifying story of Jesus kneeling down and washing his friends' feet, and his assertion over and above their objections that in doing this, he is not only giving them a new commandment to love one another as he loves them, but he's showing them how to live and love indeed. In the foot washing, like the incarnation, the method is the message. It is in our care of each other, not just our words, but our actions, that the love we have been given is illuminated. It's a circle of knowing and sharing, and so knowing more fully, and so sharing more widely. And for me, and I know that I'm not alone in this, this is often the harder of the two gifts to receive. I'll be honest, I hate feet. They have grossed me out since I was a kid, and I spent way too many hours on gymnastics mats and in dance studios that never quite lost the smell of stinky feet. But every year, when it comes to this week, I find that there is something so profoundly moving about the loving care of washing someone else's feet. I, like Peter, however, have a hard time having another person wash my feet. I can only imagine the discomfort he must have felt when it was Jesus. Episcopal priest and writer Martin Smith hits the nail on the head for me when he writes, "Though foot washing belongs to other eras and climates than our own, the symbol can still resonate enough to disturb and provoke. When are we washed? As helpless babies, we are washed by our mothers on whose love we are totally dependent. When we are sick, and unable to move, by nurses whose care we must entrust ourselves. Otherwise, never, except as part of the reciprocal pleasure of bathing with lovers. Letting another wash us raises the issue of dependence and entrusting ourselves completely to the trust of another's hands. You want to bring me a meal? I'm okay with that. Give me a hug when I'm having a hard day? I'll take it. Washing my feet? That's hard. There is real intimacy in letting another care for our body. And therein lies the power. Therein lies the gift. Let me be clear that it's okay to not wash someone else's feet tonight or to come up and have your own feet washed. There are myriad reasons why you might not participate that are fundamental to this act and are not about your ability to receive and share God's love. And the reason that we engage in this ritual, this remembering of Jesus doing this for his friends, is that it is one way that over the centuries, Christians have come to know about the commandment to love. Bringing us into intimacy with each other shows us the intimacy that God desires with us. And so it is that we might begin to understand. This night, this Maundy Thursday, is a final gift before we come close to the cross and the tomb. It promises us God's unconditional love. It reassures us that we don't have to know or understand everything right now, while at the same time pointing us toward the awareness that in experiencing and in doing, we will come to know and perhaps even begin to understand. And it gives us a way forward. When it's all said and done, the cross, the tomb, the resurrection and ascension, it prepares us for the coming of the Holy Spirit and the living out of everything that Jesus gave us. Love, do, know, understand. Because we, like Peter, like even Judas, are fully known and offered this gift this day and every day. Amen.